T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Malin Hoff, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Mo Bamba. Malin Hoff, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always enjoy talking to Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago, fine Bulls reporter, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Better after hearing that intro. That really put a smile on my face this morning.
That's good.
So help us out. You know, we look at this, and I know there is another – listen, everybody and their uncle is convinced that Zach LaVine will be signing the Bulls know what the contract is. They're going to give him the max deal. He's going to sign it, and they're going to be off and running. And even Woj dropped a bomb about it, which is nice because it's just reinforcement of what we believe is going to happen. And we've had AK on, and he's talked about continuity. Is it a lock in your mind? Is there any way? I mean, Zach would be the most desirable free agent on the market, but it doesn't feel like there's many free agents on the market.
Yeah, it's pretty much a lock in my mind. And it's from the Bulls side, they've been pretty clear about this. You know, at least publicly from the beginning, that they were committed to keeping Zach around, that they were committed to doing what it takes to do that. And really, I mean, that started last offseason when they, you know, they could have cut salary and renegotiated and extended his contract, but they chose to go after free agents like DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, Alex Caruso, to put a winning team around Zach LaVine. That's how this whole kind of retooling track began, with Zach establishing himself as an all-star and then going to trade for Nikola Vucevic to try to accelerate the timeline. The question was always, you know, is Zach going to explore his options? And, you know, I think he will. He's at least said that he's going to. But at the end of the day, when you look at the cap space teams out there, a lot of them are in, you know, let's put it diplomatically, rebuilding situations. And the Bulls have always had the advantage of having that fifth year to go to, you know, that extra year salary puts, you know, a potential max contract over $200 million. And it's a good situation. I mean, it's a winning situation now. It's a situation where Zach is a face of the franchise type figure and will be for years to come. So that's obviously the biggest item on the Bulls free agency agenda. And I do expect them to be successful in retaining him.
All right, Rob, I know you have a handle on this, but let's go into it. Assuming the Bulls are able to sign Zach LaVine, in terms of cap space, in terms of their available salary slots to address the other needs that still exists, where are the Bulls in terms of cap space and the salary slots available?
Yeah, so even with the Zach max, they'll be under the tax, or at least I'd expect them to be, which would give them, I mean, their biggest asset would be that non-tax mid-level exception, which is going to be around $10 million of maximum first-year salary, which they don't have to use all of it. They also don't have to use all of it on one player. You could split that between multiple players. They obviously have a few needs to address on the margins. But, yeah, I'd expect that to be their biggest asset. They also do, if they want to make a trade with that trade exception that they got from the Daniel Tice sign-in trade last offseason, they can take in up to $5 million in salary without sending any back in a trade. So in keeping with their kind of the front office's theme of wanting to make marginal upgrades and keep the core intact, they do have marginal assets to improve. But I do think that non-taxpayer mid-level, I mean, that's what they got Alex Caruso for last offseason. So if they can work their magic and maybe find an undervalued guy that can flourish in a bigger role, you know, there certainly is an opportunity to improve the roster, even in a marginal way.
And would you do that with a shooter, or would you do that with the rim protector? You know, I think what's fascinating about the draft pick is neither of those positions were addressed, and those are the things we thought they needed. But that tells you they're going with the player they thought was best at the position at that spot in the draft.
Yeah, just surveying the free agent market as I've done over the last few days or weeks, I think it kind of makes more sense to invest a little bit more of that asset base into the rim protector aspect. One, it's an area of need that Arturis Karnišovas and Mark Eversley have talked about ad nauseum, adding size, adding rim protection to complement Nikola Vucevic. It was such a hole in this team, the backup front court last year. You had guys like Tristan Thompson, Derek Jones Jr., Tony Bradley, Alizé Johnson early in the season, taking that backup center mantle. And there was a real drop-off when Nikola Vucevic would leave the floor. And even he has his, own defensive limitations. So I think when you look at the market of centers, of rim protectors, Isaiah Hartenstein, Mo Bamba, Mitchell Robinson from the Knicks, there are just more names that I could see worth investing that $5 to $10 million a year range than in the shooting market. I think that's something that I would probably approach with minimums, maybe with that trade exception, try to find something a little bit more creative. But the rim protector thing, I think, is a little bit easier of an issue to solve, using a little bit larger share of that non-taxpayer mid-level. So that's, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of what I'm expecting them to do, and we'll see what they do.
Okay, Rob, they will consider a lot of different possibilities, but we had one kind of head-to-head discussion this morning. I'd like you to address it. Mo Bamba versus Mitchell Robinson, pros and cons of each and relative cost.
Yeah, so relative cost, I would expect them to probably be around the same price, maybe Mitchell Robinson a little bit more expensive, a little bit more proven. The problem with both, they're both restricted free agents, or at least have the potential to be, so their teams, Mo Bamba, the Magic, Mitchell Robinson, the Knicks, would have the opportunity to match them and bring them back, even if they did get to the point where they signed an offer sheet with the Bulls. Robinson, like I said, a little bit more proven, definitely a better rebounder, a little bit stronger, a little bit more, interior heft. And I think while he needs, both of them need to develop, I think he's been a little bit more consistent at the NBA level than Bamba. But Bamba, I mean, it's the same thing as when he was drafted, right? That the skill package that he brings to the table and the upside is tantalizing. He's coming off a career year. He averaged, I think, 11 points, 8 rebounds, almost 2 blocks, shot 38% from 3. So I think the theory of Bamba is somebody that I'd love for this Bulls team because he addresses a shooting need. He addresses the shot blocking need. To me, even if he's not, the lottery pick that he was once thought to be in terms of, quality of player, he could be a pretty good third big if he can achieve that consistency. He's a little bit more of a gamble, but the ceiling is higher than Robinson. I think Robinson of those two choices would be a little bit of the safer bet. So that's how I'd summarize it.
I know this is silly, but every time anybody leaves any team, like Blake Griffin is now a free agent. The guy is 33. He hasn't started a ton of late. He's obviously a different player than he was when he was in Detroit or with the Clippers. But a guy like that is who would fit the Tristan
Andre
Thompson
Drummond,
mode.
Veterans who have had success elsewhere.
Is that what we're talking about?
I think those are on the spectrum of possibilities. To me, those would be more kind of fail-safe or backup options. I think the Tristan Thompson case is actually kind of a cautionary tale in reading too much into past accomplishments, because even though Tristan had his moments early in the tenure, I think, we could all agree that didn't necessarily pan out in the way that the Bulls thought it was going to, and now not having a biannual exception because they used some of it on him. I think those are good backup possibilities. It's always good to have a vet. The Bulls could certainly use more vets, more people with deep playoff experience. But you don't want to read too much into guys' past accomplishments. I actually think if they can swing, a Bamba, Robinson, Hartenstein, a guy who's in their early to mid-20s but can still contribute immediately, I think this roster, could certainly use more guys with upside as much as they could use veterans too.
What is the upside of some of the three-point shooters on the market, Rob? They're not going to have a ton of money to spend, and there might not be shooters out there worth overspending for, but what does the market look like?
Yeah, it's a little bit slimmer pickings than the front court guys. I mean, you've got Gary Harris out there. I mean, honestly, there's more kind of perimeter defender types when you look at like a Victor Oladipo. Torian Prince just went off to Minnesota. He's a guy I kind of had my eye on Pat Connaughton re-upped with Milwaukee. He's a guy I would have had my eye on. So, honestly, I think it's going to be minimums. I think that's where you see a veteran potentially come into play, one of those kind of older guys. And it really, I mean, this is where it would also really behoove the Bulls. It's easier said than done, but to find, you know, a shooting element in a big guy. And that's, I think that's really a part of the huge intrigue around Bamba, at least for me, being that third big who could potentially get up 4 or 5 threes a game and shoot them in mid to high 30s percentage-wise. And then obviously you're able to carry over a lot of schematic stuff from when Nikola Vucevic is in the lineup. So I'm a little bit more curious to see what they do with the shooting thing, just because I don't see a ton of surefire paths. That doesn't mean there isn't one that isn't going to work. It's just more difficult to see. You know, potentially, I would be also on the lookout for trades in that respect, just because the free agent market is so slim.
I'm curious, when we talk about the summer league, you know, obviously the Bulls had, we heard yesterday that the Patrick Williams will be there and Ayo Dosunmu, but not, they will be there to work out, not to play in the summer league games. I know they, you know, they have the kid from Marquette. They signed to a two-way deal and he will be a part of that team. And I saw Sedarius, can't think of his name,
Thornwell.
They've signed him to be on that team, a guy that was in the NBA for a while, and I think he was in Germany last year. Is that the kind of team they're going to be putting together? Do you expect any surprises with the summer league team? I mean, you know, hopefully maybe Lonzo Ball shows up someday just to visit and to see how he's doing. I don't know.
I'd expect most of the team to be out there just to visit. I mean, that's a good kind of bonding opportunity. Guys get together. I mean, last year, I believe, you know, most of the coaching staff went out, or at least Billy. It's where the entire NBA meets. So I'd expect most of the team to at least be there in an observing capacity. In terms of the roster, the biggest thing I was watching for was Pat and Ayo. I think it makes a ton of sense for them not to play games. Those are two guys that are going to be rotation fixtures this year. There's not really a need to risk injury. Pat and Ayo, they both played it last year. Pat, at least, I think, showed everything he needed to show in that environment. Mm-hmm. What I'd like to see, and what I liked so much about what they did last summer with the team, it seemed like they just built a team that was designed for Patrick Williams to never pass the ball and just kind of get up 15 to 20 shots a game and score and get, you know, on-ball scoring reps. I don't know if Dalen Terry is that type of player. We got to see what he looks like. And actually, I think for a lot of people that are, you know, still a little perplexed by the pick, it'll be really a valuable experience to get to see him against NBA level talent. I honestly wouldn't mind if it's a team of a lot of forgettable guys and it's just, you know, the Dalen Terry show. I think that would be a really interesting thing to watch. It would be, you know, he talks about wanting to improve his shooting, particularly his off the dribble shooting. Could be a good environment to work, you know, through some stuff in that department, because, you know, as far as summer league goes, I mean, we all watch it, we all analyze it, but it really is a low stakes environment where you can't take too much away, positive or negative. It's just a time to play free and see what's working, see what's not, and then go into the rest of the offseason to work on stuff. That's what Ayo did last year. He kind of struggled in summer league, and by the start of training camp was a completely different player because he really invested in improving what he needed to improve over the next month or two. Summer league rosters, the way they fill out, it's, you know, sometimes you get a couple names in there that end up on the training camp invite list and maybe end up fighting for a roster spot. But for the most part, I think it's worth it for Bulls fans to just focus on the draft picks and obviously Justin Lewis, the two-way guy, and see what they do.
Rob, focusing on Dalen Terry, I felt like he was a solid, not spectacular pick, but it also reflected the patience with which Arturis Karnišovas is running this organization. And we heard from him the other day, kind of lean in and embrace the continuity, as many people thought he might. But at any point, did you think before the draft or even heading into free agency that there will be maybe this bold, unexpected move, or they might be making a step in the direction of the more win now mentality that some of these trade possibilities represented?
Yeah, I think anything's possible, but I am starting to kind of take them at their word with the stuff about continuity, just because it's been so consistent and their actions to this point have backed it up. But the thing with this front office, I always kind of try to separate the draft from everything else, because they came in from the beginning touting that quote-unquote best player available approach. Now, obviously, every team says that, but it seems like the Bulls really live by it, roster, you know, context independent. I know a lot of people were kind of fixated on the fit. To me, if Dalen Terry is a wing, which is how the front office sees him, kind of as a guy who could play, you know, the two and the three. I think he does kind of fill a need, you know, no matter how much he can contribute immediately, because they need wing depth. And, you know, at the very least, he kind of fits, at least to my eye, a broader philosophy that this front office has seemed to take, especially in the draft. These kind of long, rangy athletes, defensively active, you know, things to refine on offense, but like really, you know, hyper-competitive. Like, I think Io is a great example of that. Patrick Williams, in terms of the physical tools, is an example of that. So to me, the pick didn't surprise me in the way that it fits into Arturis Karnišovas' broader basketball philosophy. But I get why it was a little bit of a surprise in terms of the roster fit and also his draft range. I think he wasn't projected to be a second round pick or anything, but I think like early 20s was his range. So it might've been a pick or two higher than some people expected. But to me, I'm open-minded to him. He, you know, seems like, you know, the type of kid whose makeup is going to lead to consistent improvement. And after watching him a little bit more, I'm pretty intrigued by the skill set. So it'll be interesting to see what summer league and his rookie season looks like.
I'm just curious, when we look at that and think about how they are moving forward, I mean, continuity, all that stuff, Lonzo Ball has played in 61% of the possible games during his career. And I know he's coming off the knee. Do we know anything? I mean, it's great that everyone's hopeful he'll be ready for training camp, but are you hearing anything? Do you know anything? Is there anything out there about Lonzo Ball and his availability?
No, it's pretty close to the vest, which is how they've played a lot of this type of stuff. But it seems like the report is he's quote unquote progressing, doing quote unquote well, like relative to what, I'm not really sure. but what I took most away from AK and Mark, I guess it was Mark who commented publicly on it, was that although they're hopeful, like you said, they were not quite ready to commit to questions like, would he be playing in a game if the Bulls were playing today?
Right.
Will he be ready by training camp? Again, there's a hopeful tone to the things that they're talking about. But my concern with the Lonzo Ball situation is not really going to go away until, you know, one, maybe bump into him at summer league, see what's going on there. Or two, you know, in training camp, actually seeing him out on the court 100% healthy. You know, again, I love being optimistic, but he's such an important piece to this team. And like you said, he's such a key part of the continuity element. You know, this team, no matter how much the guys get to know each other and play another year together, if last season proved, then none of it really goes without Lonzo Ball. So my concern with that is not really going to dissipate until probably training camp at the very earliest. So, you know, that'll be something to watch when that comes around.
I think that's smart.
Yeah.
Good stuff,
good,
Rob.
Man. Rob, appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
That is Rob Schaefer, NBC Sports Chicago. Does a great job.
Does a terrific job breaking it down. He is right about Lonzo Ball. Seeing will be believing. And until that, hope is not a plan. Yeah. Hope is what it represents. You just don't know certain things about his availability.
They're good with him.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.